Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us and for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Thanks for that very much. My website is www.jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Either one of those will get you to Small Business Heaven. It's what I call our website, and you can find a lot of things there that will help you to have a maximum opportunity to be successful. I hope you'll check it out, and I hope that you'll, and I ask you to, subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes out by email every Sunday to get you ready for the week ahead. Rick Maurer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Rick is one of the top change experts in the world. He's one of the people who helps us to do a better job of dealing with change, embracing change, managing with change, managing change itself. He's the author of a number of books on this topic. One of them is called Beyond the Wall of Resistance, but my favorite title, not necessarily my favorite book of all he's done, although this is an excellent one, but my favorite title is something I say around here all the time, Why Don't You Want What I Want? Rick Maurer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Thank you for this title because it gives me in fact, sometimes I just walk around holding the book up. You know, I just read the book. You've heard people say talk to the hand. I just say read the book. Read the title. What do you want? What I want? and then they just say go back to your office, boss. Leave us alone.
Good. I should have T-shirts made up, I guess.
I think you exactly. Yeah. In fact, send me one. I'd like to have one. Autograph it and send it to me. I'll pay for it. Have it made up and pay. I'll pay for it. But now make sure it's all cotton. I don't want any polyester stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Okay, you've heard me say that we've got to figure out how to make to make change happen without a casualty list.
Yeah.
But I actually sometimes maybe I think people may think that's a little bit too tough. So I like your term, creating change without or dealing with change without migraines.
Hmm.
Right?
Thanks. Yeah.
And so I like that. And so tell us what you mean by that.
Well, I mean, when I talk with, you know, people leading change in organizations, often, what leads the conversation is the sleepless nights and the headaches and the, you know, pulling their hair out kind of stuff. And it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, there certainly are challenges, and there certainly will be some minor headaches, but it doesn't have to be that kind of migraine-inducing state. I mean, there's been enough change in organizations and enough change has been looked at carefully that we can learn from those companies that are, and also nonprofits and government organizations that are doing it well. But for some reason, we don't seem to want to learn from others, and so we keep making the same mistakes over again.
Well, you know, I in my simplistic way of looking at things, Rick, what I've been saying is that there's nothing really new under the sun, if you think about it. A computer is just a fancy wheel.
Okay.
And I know that's a little bit hyperbole, but I'm trying to get people to realize that basically we've always been changing. In the history of human beings, things have been changing, and even before human beings, things were changing. But the thing is that the only difference really about change, as I've said many times before, is the velocity of change.
Yes.
And none of us would be here if human beings couldn't deal with change. So it's not that we don't like change, it's that we don't like how fast things are changing. And so if we're going to be successful in the current age, really all we got to do is pick up the pace a little bit. Am I wrong about that?
Well, no, I agree with you. The pace of change and the amount that faces people is one of the big problems. I think there's another problem that's equal to that, and that's how the change get led in organizations. I mean, you could go in to, well, let me use me as an example. I could go in to a staff of people, and I could introduce the change in a way that I could guarantee would create resistance and animosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I could introduce it in a way that I could almost guarantee that it would fail. I mean, and there's stuff on the other side of that where you could really increase the chances in your favor if you paid attention to how you were leading that change, how you were presenting it, who you were involving. Mm-hmm. And often we don't do that. We see the change as simply a technical matter. We've got to go into this new market. We need to do this. And we forget about the people. And then we wonder why people resist. And then we come up with all kinds of convoluted theories, like they're not motivated, or it's the younger workforce, or it's, you know, fill in the blank.
And when maybe what we haven't done, we either haven't done enough training, or we haven't established an environment, I think, that is conducive to change. I think that's another thing. And we were just talking about that environment with a mutual friend of ours, Gwendolyn Galsworth, who you knew a long time ago. She, by the way, I reintroduced them off the air a minute ago, folks. She's a big-time fan of Gwendolyn's. In fact, one of Rick's books mentioned in her new book. Quick break, 20 till. We'll be right back with Rick Maurer. Stay with us.
Happy anniversary, baby, got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby, got you on my mind.
We're back at 17 till, and it is the third anniversary of Rick Maurer's first appearance on this show. Rick Maurer, happy anniversary, baby.
thank you. When you told me that on the break, I was surprised. I had no idea it'd been that long. This is terrific.
Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it, Rick?
I guess it does, yeah.
Well, anyway, thank you for 3 good years.
Yeah, same.
And we're looking forward to at least the next 3.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Rick Maurer, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want, also Beyond a Wall of Resistance, among others. How many books have you written, Rick?
Five,
yeah. And they go way back, many of them. And so he's been talking about this for a long time, this idea of change and helping organizations to get better and to have the maximum opportunity to be successful. We're talking about how to create change, how to manage change, how to deal with change, how to live with change, and how to actually succeed with change without creating a bunch of migraines. And really, there are fundamentals, aren't there, Rick, that you can apply?
Absolutely. What I've done in my work is I came to find out that when I'm working with an organization, they're in one stage of change out of 4. There's like 4 places they could be. And so the first thing they need to realize is, where are they? And one of those is they need to make a case for the change. That their primary job right now is to make sure that people see the urgency. They don't have to talk about the plan. They don't have to have anything worked out. They just got to make sure that people see, you know, that a storm is coming. That's it. And that's a big deal. And we sometimes, that more than anything else gets ignored. And that's, I think, the primary reason why we get resistance is that we move too fast, that we don't get enough other people saying, wow, this is critical. We better do something. Now, that's one. The second is we need to do something to get the change started on the right foot. Like, we need to have a clear direction or vision. We need to say, who needs to get involved? What are our plans? What are we going to do to get traction? You know, just basic planning meeting kind of stuff. But we really need to be thoughtful, especially about who do we want involved? Who do we want on the bus? And the third one is, how do we keep the change alive? And I know that for a lot of leaders, and I think... I don't know if it's especially true, but it's certainly true for small business owners. They have, you know, they're juggling balls and they're putting out fires. I mean, there's a lot going on. And so it's really tempting to roll out a change and say, hey, folks, we got to do X, Y, and Z. And then a few months later, the boss, the owner, is now paying attention to something else because of all these criticisms, and the change dies.
It seems to me that this is one of the biggest challenges, because what happens is that change has happened, and you may have done something to address it, but if you don't keep the maintenance of how you've addressed this change going, it will atrophy and it will revert back to where you were before the change. And so now all of a sudden you've got major mayhem.
You do. And not only that, you've just spent a lot of money on something that's not paying off.
And brain damage.
Brain damage, yeah, because the next time you say, hey, I've got a great idea, people are going, uh-oh.
I've done this. When I was a consultant, I'd go to a business, and you know, when they turned me loose on the folks back in the back, so to speak, you know, I would look over and I'd see the guy wasn't really, you know, too interested in what was going on, and I'd say, you know, what are your thoughts? And he'd say, well, you know, This isn't the first time we've tried to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
And I say, well, what's happened in the past? Well, we never finish it.
Yeah. And boy, that's a killer. It's a killer for morale. It's a killer for productivity.
Well, because their attitude, the attitude of the organization is that not only is this not going to work, but it's wasting my time. I'm fighting a war here, and it's wasting my time fighting this war with the tools that I know.
Yeah.
With the tools that I have.
Yep, yep, yep. You know, something I tell in speeches, sometimes I'll say, in trying to describe that phenomenon, I'll go, you know, anybody here remember total quality management? And, you know, and people look, and I say, you may have seen something about it on the History Channel. And, yeah, and people laugh. And, you know, and here was something that was a really good idea. I mean, really, very thoughtful approaches to ways to make things better. I mean, really sound stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in many organizations, it just died. And it's very sad. I mean, in contrast, by the way, the very kind of work that Gwendolyn does, your last guest,
mm-hmm.
is a sign of the companies that actually were able to get benefit out of quality improvement and now have taken it to the next level and the next level after that. And so her idea of the visual workplace and all of that kind of stuff is actually growing out of that, which says to me there are some companies, there are some government agencies that have really built and kept change alive, and we can learn from them.
Right, and of course, the fourth one is hopefully is what you will do. I guess you kind of always have to do this, isn't it? And that's getting back on track. You're always moving forward and backward a little bit, aren't you? I mean, you're not ever always leaning forward and making progress. Sometimes you take a step backwards, and you have to do a little maintenance, don't you?
Absolutely. And so what you need to do is have your eyes open. You need to be able to pick up signals that things aren't working, which means you need to have radar. You need to have a way to figure that out. I have a client in a large organization, and he's got about 12 people around his department, and they're spread out, you know, across the country. And he'll just call them from time to time and say, hey, what's the weather report? You know, and it's like, I think of it as, you know, on local TV, there'll be these kind of junior weather forecasters out there. And
go ahead.
So he gets informal data to find out, is he on track or not on track, mm-hmm. and so he can do something. So.
Stand by, Rick. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Rick Maurer after these messages. The book is called Why Don't You Want What I Want? That's the new one. Stay with us. 10 till. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Rick Maurer is our guest. Rick, give us your website, please.
Sure thing. It's beyondresistance.com.
And they can find your books there?
Yes, they can.
They can find articles as well. I know that you've written.
Yeah, in fact, something I'm quite proud of is those four areas of change that I just talked about, like making a compelling case, etc.
Right.
We've organized our website around those four areas, and there's a ton of free articles and assessment tools that they can download and use.
Well, thank you for that. And folks, those areas, I'll remind you what Rick mentioned a minute ago, making a compelling case for change, getting started on the right foot, keeping change alive, and then getting back on track if you do slip off a little bit. And those, it's in those four areas, and they can go there and find out. Go to beyondresistance.com, folks, and you can find out more about this. And I encourage you to check out his books as well. Rick, what would be you have something under a billion small business owners at your knee right now?
Okay.
and they're wondering, okay, I know that I'm in this fast-paced world, this fast-paced marketplace.
Yeah.
My customers are demanding velocity. They're changing. They're asking me for new things. My vendors are, the big companies I'm competing against or I want to do business with, they're moving fast. what's the first thing I could do to catch up with them, to make sure that to try to catch up with all this and to stay up at pace? What do I do? First thing.
The first thing is make sure that the people working for you feel like owners. They feel like it's their business.
You can't change if you're the only one who's changing.
Right. And they, in other words, the stuff that keeps you awake at night needs to keep them awake at night. Mm. They, in other words, they need to understand the business. They need to understand the threats and the challenges and opportunities. And when that starts to happen, people now start to come to you with ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to say, you know, to let down your ego a little bit and go, that's a pretty good idea, you know, you can just unleash an incredible powerhouse of creativity and also people getting behind you. And so that when you roll out a change, it's not something new. It's like, well, of course we've got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
this is very important. This is part of what I call the century of the entrepreneur, Rick. And that is, when I say the century of the entrepreneur, I'm not just talking about owners. I'm talking about employees, too. And what you just defined is an entrepreneurial employee.
Yes, absolutely.
But there's one thing I'd like to throw in here, Rick, that you got to do, and I think this is critical to any entrepreneurial organization, and that is when your people do what Rick said and they bring you these ideas or they take initiative and they fail somehow trying to take initiative, your response to what they've just done is critical, isn't it, Rick?
Oh, man. Yeah. It's like the whole world is watching. If something fails, your reaction to it will become a rule book. I mean, people will write down and go, boy, never do that again.
Right.
Or say, wow, look how that got handled. And that doesn't mean that you accept shoddy work,
right,
you know, by any means. But it does mean that if you're going to encourage risk-taking assumes that there are going to be failures.
That's right.
Or else it wouldn't be a risk.
I have four words that I encourage managers to memorize in those cases. And here are those four words. What have we learned?
Yeah.
Rather than blowing up or firing people or whatever, you got to learn how to say that if you're going to be a successful, if you're going to create and manage change, don't you, Rick?
Well, yeah, those are great four words, but there's one word in there that really stands out is what can we learn? It's the we. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I sit there as boss and go, so Jim, what have you learned from this experience? That's a very different thing.
That's right.
Because the we means, oh, maybe I didn't give you the resources. Maybe I wasn't as available as I originally thought I was. You know, so the we really is an important part of that.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
30
yeah,
seconds,
like
Rick. What's another thought that you can think of?
Another thought, well, is that make sure you're giving people the information they need to feel like an owner. The stuff that you read, the stuff you pay attention to, and don't give it to them just when you've got some new change to announce. Make sure that people get it. I mean, and if you wonder how to do that, what's the best way? Ask them. You know, you don't need to read a bunch of books. You don't need to hire a consultant. Ask them. What do they need?
It's pretty cool when you've hired smart people and you're able to ask them with sincerity what they think about something.
Yeah.
And then expect to be able to take their advice. That's pretty cool. Hey, Rick, thanks for being here. Give us your website one more time.
Sure thing. www.beyondresistance.com.
Thanks, Rick, for being here. And happy anniversary, too.
Thank you. You too, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Rick Maurer, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.